It is so good to be here this morning to see all of you. There are several visiting with us, as was noted, and we do appreciate your presence. Glad that you can be with us and hope that what we do this morning will be helpful to you. You know, yesterday in this state was a big day for sports. And it was a big day for me in sports, too, but we don't want to talk about that. But, you know, it seemed about, you know, in connection with this lesson, coaches love little, you know, coach speak. You know, they have all these little sayings. You know, we're going to just take it one game at a time, as if you could play two games at the same time, you know, and next man up. But one of their sayings, coaches like to say, put in locker rooms, is when the going gets tough, the tough get going. As I began to understand what that meant over the years, I appreciated it more and more. You know, life, sports, you think about, you know, there are a lot of people that'll bat 300, 400 in April, but they don't win the MVP because they can't endure that long grind. You know, a guy doesn't make the Hall of Fame because he has a good year or two. The guys that make Hall of Fame, they are those that through years of grinding, they endure some injuries. They go through adversity, and yet they just keep going. Well, in Christianity, there are those who become disciples of Jesus, and they seem to just be so zealous, they seem to be on fire. And then the fire dies. They begin to lose that enthusiasm. They don't endure to the end. In James, the fifth chapter, James says in verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. They suffered, but they endured. They had perseverance. Today, in both lessons, I want to talk about perseverance, that idea of hanging in there. The going will get tough. Well, what are we going to do? We've got to be tough enough to keep going, to keep hanging in there. And the approach in these lessons is going to be a little different. I'm not going to go and give you, well, these are the 3 points that'll do it for you. I want to look at just a series of passages, each of them on their own, that talk to some degree about endurance. And look at each passage and say, what's the threat to endurance? What's the incentive to help us hang in there? It'll be very simple for you to follow. And I'm going to begin in Matthew, the 10th chapter. In Matthew 10, in verse 22, Jesus is here talking to his apostles, sending them out on what we sometimes call the limited commission, though it's very clear from his wording, he was sending them out to some villages of Galilee. He was really giving instruction that would also apply later after his death. But in verse 22, he said, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. You must endure to the end. You've got to keep, there's going to be adversity. What's the threat? Well, persecution. Let's back up to verse 17. We'll begin at verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." He doesn't paint just a glowing, rosy picture of what would await them. He said, "You're going to be opposed." He said, "It may come from within your own family." To the apostles, there's a special part of this promise. They are going to be given direct inspiration as to what to say. You and I, we're going to have to take it indirectly. We're going to have to study the words that he gave to the apostles so that we know what to say. But I want you to see in verse 22 the key. He who endures to the end will be saved. There's nothing that I can say that will make it easy if you face persecution, ridicule. Even he says in this case, he talks about it might be within your own family. You stand for truth, for righteousness, for godliness. You may have family who oppose you. And family sometimes will try to bring great pressures on us. That's not easy. And I can't say anything to make it easy. But I can tell you it's worthwhile. Because if you endure to the end, you'll be saved. And of course the implication is if you don't, you'll be lost. Everybody wants to be liked, to be well received. But that's not going to always happen. See the end result. See the salvation God has for you. Turn to Luke, the 8th chapter. The very familiar parable of the sower. Luke 8 and verse 15. As he's explaining about, you remember the seed fell on the wayside. Fell on the stony ground, fell among thorns, fell on good ground. And he explains the good soil. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Margin says with endurance. In this parable, you remember there were four soils. Three of the soils the seed sprouted. The one, it died out. It burned up. The other doesn't say it died, but it just didn't bear fruit. The difference, he says, is this one. They keep it. There's an endurance about the good soil. What's going to keep us from bearing fruit with endurance? Well, if you think about this parable, in verse 13, some are those on the rock. You remember verse 6, it said some fell on the rock and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And he explains, verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Mark adds in time of persecution. So you got persecution again, but the reality is every life faces difficulty. And some disciples just don't put down root. They don't have a depth of commitment. And that's something we've all got to look internally. Am I doing what it takes to have root? You see, parables are illustrations. They're not a complete truth. Your heart is not a bunch of dirt. You know, soil with the rock underneath it, that rock was going to be there. Your heart can change. I can spend that time in study, in prayer, in developing root, developing that depth. You know, sometimes you look at somebody and say, well, he's shallow. Well, there are people who are shallow, but that can change. It can be made different. But I also want you to notice verse 14. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. One of the greatest threats to our endurance, that is, our endurance as zealous, faithful, fruit-bearing Christians, is not persecution. Instead of being persecuted, we're pampered to death. And we've got all these pleasures and all these distractions in life, and just life is just good. I mean, we've just celebrated a day of Thanksgiving, in which I dare say a lot of people didn't even pause to really give thanks to the one that provided the bountiful blessings. But we ate. We ate the pie and the cakes and the turkey and the dressing and all the various things. And maybe we watched some football, and we just did what... It's so easy to be distracted by things that are not evil. Food is good. Football some Saturdays is good, you know? I mean, those are not bad things. Money. We need a certain measure of the riches of this life. But we need to be careful it doesn't distract us, that it doesn't take us from our goal. Turn to Acts, the 14th chapter. Verse 21, Paul and Barnabas are wrapping up that first journey. As they're going to start, they've reached Derbe, and now they backtrack. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They'd been out preaching. They'd made disciples. In these cities, churches were now meeting. But he said, we've got to go back, and we've got to make sure these people know to continue in the faith. They've got to persevere. And he, again, you see that same threat. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. I would suppose that the primary tribulation he had in mind would have been persecution, threats from others. But the word tribulation is a broader word that would have included other difficulties. You go through life, you're going to face tribulations. It's not always going to be easy. There will be opposition from others. But you'll sometimes may experience financial difficulties. Those can try a person's faith. There may be family conflicts that are not necessarily about persecution, they're just trouble. There may be health issues, whether it's affecting you or someone you love. All these kinds of things. Well, how do we go through this? How do we endure? Well, he says, through many tribulations, we enter the kingdom of God. The word kingdom, sometimes it is basically the equivalent of the church. It is to say those people who have submitted to God's will here on earth, we are those over whom God reigns. We are His kingdom. But there are also a number of places where kingdom is used in the sense of that eternal home. That place where God's will is unquestioned. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking there of the eternal kingdom. These people have already bowed to the king. But he said, if you're going to enter the ultimate kingdom, you've got to pass through tribulations. Folks, keep heaven before you. We have to keep that prize before us. Something else I want you to notice in this passage. They're going back, strengthening the souls of the disciples. exhorting them to continue. You know, we've got to be in the business of, I need to take it on myself to strengthen my soul. But we also, as a church, we're in the soul strengthening business. And it said they appointed elders. I don't think we ought to separate the effort to strengthen the disciples, to prepare them from tribulation, from the appointment of elders. A part of the work of elders is to help people to grow. As they plan classes and meetings and the entire, just the entire working of the church as they are guiding us, it ought to be in, with this in mind, that through many tribulations we're going to enter the kingdom of God. And we as the disciples need to take advantage of, they've planned a period of worship, a period of study. They've got this to strengthen us. Utilize that. Take advantage of that. Look at Romans, the second chapter. We move through a few more quickly. This one is a little longer, so I've just put a small excerpt up there. But verse 5, he says, but in accordance, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good. Do you see that phrase? Patient continuance in doing good. Seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. What does God seek from us? Patient continuance in doing good. You keep on keeping on. For most Christians, the Christian race, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It is an endurance race. You've got to just keep going. Well, how? You see the end. Look what happens if you fail. There will be indignation and wrath. There will be tribulation and anguish. On the other hand, patient continuance in doing good brings glory, honor, immortality. What a blessing. What's going to derail us? If you look at verse 9, he points to a couple of things that they're going to get in our way. Self-seeking. I don't want to minimize persecution. Persecution is awful. And it has cost some people their souls. But the biggest problem sometimes is just, we're just too focused on self. And everybody, we all have a sense of self-preservation. In fact, the gospel message is aimed at the realization people will do what is best for themselves. They're going to, I mean, if you reach out and you touch something that's hot, you immediately withdraw your hand. Most people, if they see danger, they back up. And yet, the irony of Scripture is the only way that you can preserve yourself is to quit worrying about yourself. Jesus would say, you've got to take up your cross, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. To take up the cross meant to die. We've got, as long as I'm self-seeking, everything has to be my way. Whether it's my family, on my job, in my community, at church, it all has to be my way. Then I'm not headed. I'm not going to be involved in patient continuance in doing good and find glory, honor, and immortality. And then there is this, he said, and do not obey the truth. It's real easy to look out here at the world and just see all the disobedient. But one thing that has happened, even in the religious world, there is not this earnest desire to, let's get into the Scripture. Let's know what the truth is because we must obey the truth. Even church, worship, religion has become molded to our own desires. You know, what kind of music do you like? Well, we've got a service for that. You know, what are you interested in losing weight? Hey, we've got Weight Watchers or, you know, one of those kind of things that meets here on Monday. Now, are you more interested in eating? Well, then we meet on a different day for that. You know, everything, it's all about us. We've got to get back to truth. I want that glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. I want that. How am I going to get that? I've got to be patiently continuing doing good. I've got to overcome selfishness, self-centeredness. I've got to overcome that desire to mold God's Word to fit my life and make sure my life is molded to fit His Word. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 as we continue. Just a few more passages. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. He said, this gospel, it saves you. It's the gospel by which you are saved. But he says, if you hold fast. The Bible is so clear. There's no once saved, always saved. You can fall from grace. That Bible, it teaches the possibility. It doesn't teach the probability or the certainty of apostasy. You don't have to fall away. But he said you could. What's the threat in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians? Here it's false teaching. Specifically in this chapter, it was false teaching about the resurrection. There were people saying there is no resurrection. And what Paul is saying is ultimately that's going to lead to the idea of eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. It's going to lead to ungodliness. You need to be a person who knows this book. Because there are those who would lead you astray. They would tell you things that are not in this book. You be strong in the knowledge of God's Word. I would offer also in the next few verses, he gives them a basis for faith. Provides the eyewitness testimony. Over 500 brethren at once, he said Jesus appeared to them. Living by faith does not mean we live by lack of reason. We're going to be saved. He said this gospel saves. And in this same chapter, you have verse 58, which has such a powerful, powerful verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is what we're talking about this morning. Steadfastness, not being tossed to and fro. Keeping that zeal going, always abounding. You know what the therefore means. It means what I've just said to you about being steadfast and immovable. It's connected to something I've said before. Verse 54. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has shown them the truth of the resurrection. the absolute certainty that our bodies would be changed into a glorified body, that we will be victorious through Jesus Christ. So he says, therefore, with all of that, you be steadfast. You be immovable. You continue to abound in the work of the Lord because your labor is not in vain. Most of us have done something sometime where we worked and we worked and we worked on something. Spent hours on it. And then it was a complete failure. Didn't work out. Maybe we were repairing something and then we ended up, it just didn't fix it. He said, your labor is not in vain. Folks, don't give up. You hang in there. You persevere because Jesus has been risen. He is our hope. One last passage this morning in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. Let's not grow weary. He says, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I think sometimes what happens is not any one thing that breaks a Christian down. It's just time and toil and weariness. A lot of little things. You've heard the expression, death by a thousand cuts. Sometimes it just, maybe it's some persecution here. Maybe it's a little trouble within the church. Maybe it's a little family conflict. Maybe it's some of the health issues. Maybe it's some economic. And it just, and maybe it, sometimes we feel unappreciated. And then somehow, somewhere we just grow tired. And we quit. He said, don't grow weary. How do we keep from growing weary? We see the future. We see the harvest. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What can keep us going? Seeing the harvest and realizing there are two alternatives. We may reap corruption. We may reap everlasting life. That's not much of a choice, is it? You don't want the corruption. When you think about why we don't hang in there, there are a lot of reasons, a lot of threats. But God's promises, God's helps ought to be enough. Don't grow weary. Don't miss out. Yeah, the going will get tough. But it doesn't have to destroy us. It doesn't have to break us. We can be victorious. Let's be steadfast. Let's be immovable. Let's continue to abound in the work of the Lord. And our labor will not be in vain. This morning, if you're not a child of God yet, though, you can't talk about endurance without beginning. Why don't you this morning enjoy that hope we've been talking about? We've talked this morning so much about the hope of heaven. The future harvest, the kingdom of God, of being saved. This morning, make this the day that those promises become yours. Turn from your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized into Him. We're here to help. If you come while we stand and sing together.